We have today a very, very special chus, privilege, opportunity to hear one of the G'dayle Rabbanim, Marbite Torah, Mizaki, Rabbim in America, Rav Mansur, a world-renowned, tremendous Marbite Torah, and it's a great opportunity for us to listen. People should pay careful attention. There's a great deal to be gained from him. Thank you.
Bereshut, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Lubin, Shiyahyeh. Bereshut, my good friend, Rabbi Yaakov Laredo, Yishmere Wael. Bereshut, Talmidi HaYakar V'Na'ala, Yonatan, Yosef Dagmi, Shiyahyeh. Bereshut, Rabbanim HaHashuvim. And most importantly, Talmidim, precious students. It is a great privilege for me to be here this morning at Torat Chaim, the yeshiva here in Miami. It's not the first time I was here. I actually was in this Bet Midrash a few years ago, and I understand that it's going to be under renovation soon. You deserve it. On this, we could say, Chochma mefo'eret bechli mefo'ar. That glorious wisdom of Torah must be studied also in the glorious vessel. Not to say that this vessel that you're in isn't glorious, but ze'eli ve'anvehu. It must be upgraded and advanced in order to give the kavod for the studies that you're involved in. I pray that the renovation should go smoothly, and Be'ezrat Hashem, it should only enhance your learning, both qualitatively and quantitatively. Amen. It's not so easy to come to speak to boys in the yeshiva because the boys in the yeshiva obviously have good heads, they're learning good, and therefore I know that whenever a speaker comes, it's clear that they're going to be highly critical of every word he says. They need proofs, they want ra'ayot. You can't just sell yeshiva boys anything. Therefore, I don't take this derash lightly. I know that we have to present a novel idea, and I pray that it'll be accepted by the Talmidim. And if it's not, well, then you don't have to invite me back. Please allow me to say something from this week's Perashah, and then I believe there's a practical lesson we can learn. Well, the Perashah is Toledot, and I'm sure you paid attention to the first Pasuk. Ve'ele toledot Yitzhak ben Avraham. Avraham holidet Yitzhak. And the Torah tells us that the obvious, Yitzhak was the son of Avraham. But besides telling us the obvious, it repeats almost the same phraseology at the end of the Pasuk. After it says Yitzhak is the son of Avraham, it tells us Avraham holidet Yitzhak. Indeed, it was Avraham that bore Yitzhak. Well, isn't that obvious? If Yitzhak is the son of Avraham, doesn't that go automatically that Avraham holid et Yitzhak? Is it possible that Yitzhak could be the son of Avraham and Avraham not holid et Yitzhak? Rashi deals with it, and I know you know this already. Rashi tells us that there was what we call Letzanei Hador. Letzanei Hador, the scoffers. Today we would call them the wise guys or the cynics. And they came along and said, what do you think? You think Yitzhak's father is really Avraham? Nothing doing. And they did a very simple calculation. They said Sarah Imenu was barren for 90 years. Avraham and Sarah could not have children. It's true, Avraham had children from Hagar, but he couldn't have children from Sarah. Didn't work. And all of a sudden, Sarah gets abducted by Avimelech, as we know the story. And she was taken into the palace by Avimelech overnight. And shortly thereafter, she gets pregnant. So the wise guys, the Letzim, came along and said, And therefore, Abraham is not the biological father. Now, he might be the custodian, but he's not the biological father. It's Abimelech. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle in order that the Tzaddik Yitzhak should not be a victim of the libel claims of the Letzim, of Letzanei Hador. And all of a sudden, the image in the face of Yitzhak became a spinning image of his father. You looked at Abraham, you looked at Yitzhak, they looked the same. And therefore the Pasuk says, Abraham holidit Yitzhak. It became evident that indeed it was Abraham who was the father, because now they said it can't be, he came from Abimelech. Look how much he resembles his father. So the end of the Pasuk is coming to reverse the claims or answer the claims of the Letzim. And I ask the question, why does it mention it now? It sounds like that once Yitzhak got a little older, because already in this parasha is 40 years old. This was an old claim. This claim already they were saying when he was born. Why does the Torah mention it now, 40 years later? Why did it resurface? And the explanation, I believe, is as follows. We know that the midah of Avraham alav shalom is midah ta chesed. Titen emet li Yaakov chesed l'Avraham. Avraham excelled in the act of kindness and charity and benevolence. That is his midah. He perfected it. When we read the stories of Avraham, every story is laden with how Avraham Avinu went beyond and above expectation of anybody in regard of chesed. Even on the third day of an excruciating, painful circumcision without anesthesia, I remind you. And he's running to tend to his guests on a scorching hot day. That's the chesed of Abraham. And all of a sudden, Yitzhak is born. Now over the course of time, as Yitzhak grows older, people noticed that Yitzhak is not like his father. After all, Yitzhak had a different midah. His midah was called midat yirah, fear, pahad Yitzhak, or midat givurah, or midat adin. He wasn't like his father in the sense that he excelled in chesed. Yitzhak served God from a different accent, the accent of yirah and fear. So the people came along and said, well, it cannot be that this is the son. How did chesed produce din? Chesed, if you have the dominant gene of chesed, the dominant gene of chesed should produce a son. That's chesed. So where did he come from? How can it be that Yitzhak is the son of Abraham? Doesn't match. If the mother has blue eyes or brown eyes and the father has brown eyes, the kid's not going to have green eyes. It can't be. There's something missing. So they said, aha, from here we see that he must not be the biological father. Me'avimelech netabera. Avimelech is a goy. Abimelech is midat adin. Abimelech comes from a different wiring. He's wired differently than Abraham. Therefore, when they saw Yitzhak's midah, they said he must come from a different place. That's why it took time for them to understand Yitzhak's midah. When he's 8 days old, they don't know what his measure is. But as he got older, they said, you see, the fact that it's Yitzhak ben Abraham shows us he can't be the biological son. He's not like his father. Chesed cannot produce din. Now let's go a little further, Rabotai. That's not what I came to say. It's just the beginning. Although it's a nice understanding, I must say. And now all of a sudden, Yitzhak's married to Rivka, and they start to pray. And the pasuk comes along and says, "Vayatar Yitzhak." The word vayi'tar is not the normal word used for prayer, mind you. Rashi comes along and says, vayi'tar hirba. Hirba means he prayed excessively. He prayed a lot. Vivtsir. Vivtsir means he was begging, he was beseeching. It seems that this was an extraordinary prayer that Yitzhak was leveling to God. Rightfully so, he wants to have children. He's married for 20 years, and he doesn't have children. So it wasn't stam a vayitpalel, it was a vayatar. He was trying to put all his energy into this tefillah. And the pasuk says, vayatir lo Hashem. Interesting. Vayatir. What does that mean, vayatir? What it seems to me is God allowed himself to be convinced. It's almost as if God needed to be forced to answer Yitzhak's prayer. Vayatir. Almost if God was saying, I really don't want to answer him, but you're praying so much, you're forcing me, you're trying to seduce my opinion, fine, I'll give in. Vayatir. And I'm asking a simple question. Why is God giving Yitzhak such a hard time? What is he praying for? He's not praying for a new car. He's not praying to go on a vacation. He's not praying for some geshmiyut, some physical asset. He's praying for a child. God has to give him a hard time and say, all right, fine, vayatir, I'll give in to you. You twist my arm, I'll acquiesce. What's so difficult that God needs to be pressured kivyachol by Yitzhak? They once asked this question to the great Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Sonnenfeld, alav shalom. Rabbi Sonnenfeld, alav shalom, answered with an unbelievable story that he revealed from the Hatam Sofer. Listen to the story. Somebody once came to the Hatam Sofer, a man, his lady, husband, his wife was expecting, and she was having a very hard pregnancy. And she was suffering. So he went to the Hatam Sofer and says, do me a favor, Rebbe, could you just pray that the baby come out already? Let her give birth, let her be out of her suffering. Hatam Sofer thought for a minute, and he said, I am sorry, I cannot answer your request. I cannot pray for the baby to come out. And the man was so offended. Dear Rabbi, I'm asking you a modest request. Why do you refuse me? Hatam Sofer said, because I have a Gemara. The Gemara says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu always makes sure that there's a tzaddik in the world. And the Gemara says in Kiddushin on page 72 that whenever a tzaddik is born, so a tzaddik dies. But Borei Olam will not take away a tzaddik until a new tzaddik is born. And the Gemara goes on to list how when a certain rabbi was born, the other rabbi died. So the world always will have a measure of tzaddikim. So he said, I know that your wife is going to have a tzaddik. That baby inside is going to be a tzaddik. So if I pray for him to come out prematurely, that's going to cause a tzaddik somewhere in the world to die prematurely. And therefore, I'm not allowed to pray for a tzaddik to die prematurely. It's going to hurt somebody else. Therefore, let the baby come out when God's ready for it to come out. I am not allowed to pray for the baby to come out before its time, because it will impact negatively a tzaddik somewhere else. In Gemara, as you learn, boys, it's havla harini. This is going to damage somebody else. So said Rav Sonnenfeld, something incredible. We all know, in this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu was making lentil soup. Rashi says, why was he making lentil soup? Oh, because his grandfather passed away, Abraham. And the Gemara says that Abraham actually died prematurely. He died 5 years before he was supposed to. You see, He was supposed to live to 180, but instead he died at 175. Why? Because God wanted to spare Abraham that he shouldn't see Esav go off the derech. Esav at the age of 13 went off the derech, as we know. He went to the Beit Avodah Zarah, and it would have been very painful for Abraham to see one of his grandchildren veer off the straight and narrow path. So therefore, God removed Abraham from the world prematurely, so he shouldn't have to see Esav, says Rav Sonnenfeld. And now Yitzhak is praying, he wants a child. But God said, if I answer him easily and the child is born, the earlier Esav is born, the quicker Abraham dies. And therefore, I can't answer him easily, because the premature birth of Esav is going to cause the premature death of Abraham. So therefore the Pasuk says, Vayyater lo Hashem. Hashem had to be forced. He had to be convinced. It had to come from a tefillah of excessive nature and of tremendous convincing. But finally, Borei Olam said, fine, Yitzhak and Rivka, they don't see everything that I see. All right, we'll give in. But nonetheless, we see that this tefillah had tremendous ramifications. So I ask the question. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, whose tefillah got answered? Well, Yitzhak was praying in this corner, and Rivka was praying in that corner. We all know this, you learned it in first grade. Rashi comes along and says, Vayatid lo. Well, who's the law? I always assumed it's law, meaning it's Yitzhak and not Rivka. After all, wasn't Yitzhak a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik? And Rivka was a tzaddiket, the daughter of a rasha. So that she says, you can't compare. Rivka's great, all the credit. Yitzhak is Sadiq ben Sadiq. Yitzhak ben Avram, therefore his prayer is a stronger prayer. And I read you Rashi. She'enu domet tefilat Sadiq ben Rasha letfilat Sadiq ben Sadiq. And I ask our members here today, just answer me a question. Who's the Sadiq ben Sadiq? Yitzhak, Chazak Baruch. Yitzhak ben Rasha. And who's the Sadiq ben Rasha? Rivka. Now, I know you boys know grammar. Rivka is a tzaddik? Oh, she's a tzaddiket. She's a tzaddiket. So you mean, when she says tzaddik ben Rasha, he doesn't mean tzaddik, but he means tzaddiket. But he said tzaddik, why? So you mean that she's lav davka. It's Rivka, we all know it's Rivka. No one's doubting that. It's just the question is who gets the tilt. So that she's telling you advantage to the tzaddik ben tzaddik and not to the tzaddik ben rasha. But Rivka is not a tzaddik ben rasha. She's a tzaddiket and she's not a ben. So two words are lav davka in Rashi here. She's really a tzaddiket bat rasha. Wow, that's a small Rashi like that of 11 words to tell me two words are lav davka. And we know that Rashi comes to explain Peshuto Shel Mikra. And now we have to take a crowbar to try to understand that Rashi really means Rivka, even though two words don't fit, not Sadiq and not Ben. So I'd like to tell you the way I saw on Sfarim. Incredible explanation. And this has to do with the boys of the yeshiva. Famous Gemara in Ta'anit on page 25. It seems there was a drought, and the rabbis came to pray for rain. And it says, it was Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Eliezer prayed and prayed and prayed to no avail, no answer. Rabbi Akiva got up and said a few words, Avinu Malkenu. He said a few Avinu Malkenus, not even that. And all of a sudden, boom, the rain came. So the Gemara says, don't think that Rabbi Akiva was greater than Rabbi Eliezer. Chas v'shalom, we don't weigh the Tanaim. But you should know there's a reason why Rabbi Akiva's tefillah was more effective. Because the Gemara says he was ma'avir al middotav. What does that mean, ma'avir al middotav? Literally means le'avir al middotav, means to stand aside his personality. That means whatever personality he had, he didn't let his nature get in the way of doing the right thing. People have certain natures. And a lot of times nature acts instinctively. We get angry instinctively. We take revenge instinctively. God forbid, if there's ta'va, desire, it happens instinctively. That's the nature. Le'avir al amidot means to stand aside from your natural instinct and overcome it. Rabbi Akiva, in that sense, had to break his nature. His nature was not naturally a good nature. It needed to be developed and worked on. Whereas the Bili Ezer, he was a tzaddik. His nature was naturally good. So therefore, it didn't have to be ma'avir ala midot. And I'll tell you why. Because Rabbi Akiva, where did he come from, boys? Rabbi Akiva is from the family of Gerim. He descends from converts. So where he descended from is not the best place. He had to overcome all that nature he inherited. Rabbi Eliezer is homegrown. So what do you see from here? You see from here a tremendous lesson. I'm going to teach you now a sigula if you want your prayers to be answered. A new sigula. Anything that's one of your weaknesses, what you're struggling with, on the day that you overcome your weakness, make a prayer. And your prayer now has a much greater chance and odds to be answered. On the day that you have a desire to look at something that's inappropriate, which might be a nature, it's instinct, and you close your eyes and look the other way. At that moment, make a prayer. At that moment, you're like Rabbi Akiva. Le'avir al midotav. It's okay to have the tendency, but the key is to break it. The Gaon de Vilna says in Ibn Shelema, we came to this world to break our tendencies. And if somebody is in this world and not consciously working on breaking his midot, the Gaon de Vilna's language is Lama lo hayim. What is he living then? What's his purpose then? God has no claims if a person has a negative tendency. He created you with that. The claim is, why aren't you working on it? So the Bi'akiba was born with these negative tendencies from his ancestors. But he was ma'avir. He was ma'avir al amidot. As a result, his tefillah gets answered. Borei Olam says, you were ma'avir, I'll also be ma'avir. Even though the people might not be worthy. You broke yourself, I'll break the protocol as well. I'll answer. Now listen to the hadush that I came to say this morning. I want to ask you a simple question. Was Avraham alive when Rivka and Yitzhak were praying? Was he alive? Yes, of course. He didn't die till 175. Another question. Is it fair to say that Abraham knew that Yitzhak and Rivka were struggling with fertility? Of course. Don't you think the biggest Baal Hesed in the world, Hesed starts at home. You don't think Abraham knew about what's going on with his own son? Didn't he? And don't you think that Abraham prayed? I have no doubt. I'll prove it to you. If Abraham's praying for Sedom, you don't think Abraham's praying for his own child to have a child? I have no doubt. It's pashut. The text doesn't have to tell me that. Rabotai, listen to a tremendous hadush. Who has the greatest struggle of being a tzaddik? Abraham or Yitzhak? Correct. Why? Very good. Abraham comes from Terach. Terach was a bad guy, Avodah Zarah. To be raised with that, you have to break all your norms, all what you're used to. Didn't God tell Abraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimolatecha betabia? What was the depth behind that? Leave it. And you might say to yourself, what's the big test? Get up and leave. No, it's not just physically leaving one geographical place on the map to go to a different place. That's not such a great test. Lech lecha means you have to leave the nature. Which Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says, to change the smallest nature and instinct is more difficult than learning the entire Shas. And here God was telling Abraham, leave everything, not the smallest midah, leave everything. That's a test. You have to delete all that you were taught, all the tendencies, all the priorities. And you have to recreate yourself. Lech lecha. Well, Abraham clearly, we could say, was ma'avir al midotav. Now, Yitzhak was a great tzaddik, and far be it for me to minimize the tzaddikim. But it had to be easier for Yitzhak. After all, his father is Abraham. I'll answer questions in a moment. I think I know what your question is. Yitzhak is raised in Abraham's house. Of course he has free will. Of course he has to choose correctly. But it's easier to be a tzaddik in Abraham's house than to be a tzaddik from Terah. And now the theory is like this. Abraham is praying that Yitzhak should have a child. And Yitzhak is praying. We're not discussing over here Rivka's prayer at this point. We're discussing the chances of the two tzaddikim, whose prayer is going to be more effective. So that she comes and says, Eno dome tefilat tzaddik ben tzaddik. Yeah, the tzaddik ben tzaddik was Yitzhak ben Avraham. His prayer is good, but you can't compare it to the prayer of the tzaddik ben Rasha. Who's the tzaddik ben Rasha? Avraham ben Terah. The tzaddik ben Rasha, his tefillah is much greater. Because his tefillah comes le'avir al amidot. His tefillah came with great sacrifice. Therefore, we reverse the whole Rashi. It comes out that the tzaddik ben Rasha is greater than the tzaddik ben tzaddik. And Rashi used the Lashon, tzaddik ben Rasha, because he's talking about Abraham, not a tzaddiket, and not a bat. The question that you could ask then is, it seems Rivka was in the same boat then. And Rivka also was a tzaddeket bat rasha, and therefore had the same inachinameh. And we have to know why the zechut went to Avraham and not to Rivka. Well, based on what I said, now we understand. Because God would not want Yitzhak and Rivka's prayer to be accepted that would cause Abraham to die prematurely. So therefore God said, if Abraham's praying for it, so Abraham's praying for it himself. He can pray for it himself, whatever happens to him. But he's not going to let Yitzhak and Rivka's prayer be answered where it's going to impact Abraham negatively. So therefore it's true Rivka's prayer could have been answered. But we don't want to say, you prayed, Hazaka Baruch, you killed your father-in-law. Even though people might want to do that, but not the tzaddikim. So therefore the prayer came directly, Davka, from Abraham. Okay, Abraham, he can be mohel on his own life. He can be mohel on whatever he wants. That's the theory. The lesson for B'nai Torah like yourselves, the only place where we train ourselves how to overcome our nature is yeshiva. Torah is the only field of knowledge or study that's able to change you. You can go to Barnes and Nobles and buy a book written by some secularist. It will not have an impact. Jews can only be affected with true change from the study of Torah. And the Gemara says it. Barati yetzer hara, barati lo Torah tavlin. I created the inclination, I created your tendencies, and I created the antidote. And the antidote is Torah Tavlin. And I remind you what the Hafetz Chaim says in Mishnah Berura. Torah Tavlin is not only the study of the Talmud that you boys are involved in, but it is the study of Musar. The study of Yirat Shamayim. And therefore I recommend to you boys, do not minimize the Seder of Musar in the yeshiva. I'm sure you have a time that you set aside every day where you study the ethical books of the great masters, like Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, and Mesilat Yesharim, or Rabbeinu Yonan, Sha'aret Teshuvah, and the likings. Do not minimize that study. Because it is that limud that directly has an impact on curtailing and minimizing the influences of the Yetzer Hara. It's the only way you can become a ma'avir al amidot, through the vigilant study of Musar and Yirat Hashem. Shema b'ni Musar Abicha. That comes first. Ve'al titosh Torat Imecha. And then, be'azat Hashem, I am certain, boys, if you continue your studies, both Torah and Yirat Hashem, Torah and the Musar will give you the inner strength to overcome the temptations. And I remind you that the temptations in this world are very attractive and very luring, maybe more than any other generation. Therefore, today it's a matter of survival. Being in yeshiva today is not anymore a luxury. Being in yeshiva is a necessity. It's life-saving. You shouldn't consider yourselves here like you're doing somebody a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. It'll give you the strength to overcome the midot. And then, be'azat Hashem, you'll be the biggest beneficiary. Then when you get up and pray to God, Borei Olam says, that's a prayer of a ma'avir, somebody that stood aside himself. And then I have no doubt that not only will your Torah be accepted in Shamayim, but your tefillot will be accepted as well. And therefore, I bless all the members that are present this afternoon here at the great yeshiva Torat Chaim, that not only tekubal Toratchem beratzon, but b'ezrat Hashem tekubal tefillatchem beratzon. Amen. Ken yi ratzon.